Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. The enemy has been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud.
The enemy has been defeated.
The enemy has been defeated.
Death couldn't hold you.
Death couldn't hold you down. Lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises.
The enemy has been defeated.
The enemy has been defeated.
And death couldn't hold you down.
We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises.
The enemy has been defeated.
The enemy has been defeated.
And death couldn't hold you down.
Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
We lift your name.
We lift your name up. We lift your
shout
name
unto
up.
God.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
We lift your name.
We lift your name up.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
We lift your name.
We lift your name up. We lift your name up.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of triumph.
Shout unto God.
Shout unto God with the voice of praise.
Bring up your name.
And better is one day. Better is one day.
Better is one day.
Better is one day
than a thousand miles away.
Better is one day. Better is one day.
Better is one day.
Better is one day
than a thousand miles away.
Amen. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. We thank you, Jesus, for all you're doing in our lives, God. You're worthy. You're worthy. Amen. You may be seated. It is good to have Jeffrey and Bianca as they walk out the door. Amen. Worshiping with us. Bring some Arizona weather. What happened? They forgot to bring it. Amen. I'm cold. Anybody else cold? Man. This month we've been in a series about the parables of Jesus. So far we've talked about the parable of the sower, and then last week the parable of the lost sheep. And today we're going to take a look at one that I can't say that I've heard a whole lot of teaching on. I've read it many times. I'm familiar with it. But not one that maybe it's been dived into. So let's do that this morning. And that's the parable of the laborers. Parable of the laborers. Unlike some of the other parables that are found in multiple books in Scripture, this is only found in the book of Matthew. So go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. While you're turning there, I want to thank a couple weeks ago when I was preaching, I was joking about the talking about convenience and how we've gotten down to where we can just Venmo people. And I was like, you know, hey, if you got Venmo, Venmo me some Lego money this morning. Well, got out to my car that morning, and I see a notification from Venmo. I'm like, what? What's this? I don't remember selling anything today. It was like $1 for Lego. And then I saw the next notification, $1 for Lego. So I got $2 for Lego. Praise God. I didn't even announce my username. So if you'd like that, No, I'm just not going So I have to, about 1% of the way there to buying a Lego. Lego's so expensive. Amen. But anyways, so thank you. They're not even here this morning. Brooke and Megan, nice jokesters, but I'm blessed. All right, Matthew chapter 20. Let's start in verse 1. We're just going to read this whole parable together first. It says, "For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them and said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours. Go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I am good?' So the last will be first, and the first last. But many are called, but few chosen." Amen. The grapes were ripe, dangling heavily on the vine. Now was the perfect time for harvesting, and the owner of the vineyard stepped out onto the porch and assessed the situation. He realized if he didn't get some workers in there to help, he could lose some of his crop. So he threw on his cloak, headed for the market. There were usually plenty of people there looking for work, and as he drew near to the marketplace, sure enough, he noticed several of the able-bodied workers making themselves available for hire. He selected strong workers because at that time, harvesting grapes had to be done by hand-picking the fruit. It was back-breaking work. The laborers had to bend over each plant to inspect the fruit before extracting a cluster that was ready for harvest. As we compare the vineyard from the story to today, we recognize God's harvest is filled with souls ready to come to him. These people need to hear the word of God. God's field may not always be easy to harvest, and it may seem to be a backbreaking job at times, but in the end, it is rewarding. Paul addressed the need to go into God's field and harvest souls for the kingdom in Romans chapter 10. It says, "How then," and this is verse 14, "how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Oh, well, I'm not a preacher, so I don't need to follow scripture. Sweet, I'm off the hook. Well, this is just, how are they going to hear without someone telling them? Let's break it down. Every one of us should have the passion to talk to people about what God has done in our lives. That's what's the witness. Like, hey, I saw something. He did something great in my life. And maybe it's as simple as you come across someone at work and they're, man, I'm just, you know, my wife and I are struggling. And it's just like, well, man, when my wife and I, we turned to God and we did this and X, Y, Z, then it's like you're witnessing what God can do in their lives and just telling them about what Jesus can do. Amen. Currently, we're witnessing a great hunger among unbelievers for something real and lasting. It seems people of this generation are looking for a spiritual experience but don't know exactly where to find it. Some seek answers with yoga, spiritualism, drugs, even witchcraft to satisfy their spiritual cravings. As born-again Christians, we know what they need. We know how to lead them because we once were where they are now. In Corinthians, Paul tells the saints, 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. You know, there's, man, you sit down with many of you in this congregation and the stories that you could tell of where God brought you from. And if, you know, you spent time. And that's what it is recognizing what in my life can I communicate to somebody and being open. God, use my story. You know, I went through that struggle. I went through that trial. I faced those demons. I you know, got through a horrible childhood. You know, there's so many different variables that only you can reach certain people. I could never reach them. I've never done drugs in my life, never smoked in my life, never drank in my life. I can't speak to that. But I can speak to someone and say, hey, it is possible to go through life without doing all that stuff. And so I have a different vantage point, whereas you can say, I went through that, and it's horrible. And the life, that's just a depressive life, or whatever it is, the testimony. And so there's different avenues we can all each have and to communicate and to reach out and to preach to folks, to witness to folks. Amen. He uses our current knowledge. He uses our past experiences as tools to reach those who are hurting, wounded, lost. With God-given wisdom, God-given wisdom. We talked about Solomon last month and the wisdom and the importance of wisdom in reaching folks. We can carefully take their hand and lead them to a genuine, deep, and meaningful relationship with a real God that they can feel. Amen? What are some things you've learned? And that's the question you have to ask yourself, like I just said. What are the things you've learned during your journey with Christ that would help new ones be successful in their walk? John 6:44 tells us that God does his part by drawing souls to himself. We then do our part by reaching out to them, teaching, preaching, living the gospel. And this great hunger for God all around us fosters a great need for us to be laborers, bringing those souls into God's family. We are laborers. We are laborers. Just as a landowner brought workers into his own vineyard, God has called us to work in his field. The owner went into the marketplace, saw those waiting and available to work. We're the ones who love this truth and should be the first to volunteer to share with others. Those God had prepared are the ones waiting for us to show them the way. Working in God's field may be a lot of work, but it is worth it when we see God changing lives. As we experience joy over the fruit of our labor, it encourages us to continue to work in God's field. Nothing is more inspiring than praying with someone to receive the Holy Ghost, watching them be baptized in Jesus' name. Great rewards are waiting for us as we answer the call to work in God's field. Verse 2, if we go back there, it says in Matthew 20, now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. The concept of being hired for the day, just the day, was a common practice in Bible times. Those desiring work would gather in the marketplace early in the morning, and when someone agreed to work for another, they would decide on a daily wage before work began. Both the landowner and the laborers would come to an agreement, and so this was a day just like any other day in our parable. The owner of the vineyard hired helpers to harvest his crops, comes to an agreement with them for the day's worth of work. However, somewhere in the process, we see the third hour, the owner realized he needed more laborers than what he had hired. So he goes back into the village, sees more able-bodied workers needing a job, and hires them. And this happens several times throughout the day, as we read in the scripture. You'll notice that while he promised a day's worth of wages to those who started working at the beginning of the day, to all the other workers, he simply said, whatever is right, I will give you. Basically, I'm going to pay you fairly, don't worry. So keep that in mind as we continue on. As we draw closer to the coming of the Lord, God compels us to go out and disciple those he has drawn into his kingdom. Sometimes the work seems like too much for us. This is when we should take the time to mentor others to also work in God's vineyard. There's a need for laborers. It's interesting. I don't many, hear many prayer requests of God, but Matthew 9, let's check this out. Verse 35 says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness, every disease among the people." Verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few.'" There's so many people who need Jesus, but there's so few laborers. "Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Pray for laborers. We need to be laborers in the kingdom of God. We need to be laborers in the kingdom of God. We're working for an intentional God. His plan includes souls who are already prepared for us to show them the way. We should be available to work in any area God calls us. It's interesting because we oftentimes like, man, I got to do, you know, as we pray, as we're seeking and we're looking for folks to talk to, we think that we are doing all the work. No, God is preparing the harvest. And oftentimes it's just as easy as just being sensitive to who God, who's ready to be picked, so to speak. Who's ready to be given an invitation card? We've got those out there. Who's ready to be share my story? And it can be just as easy as that because God draws everyone, you know, and then there's the soil that gets tilled. Maybe they got watered by someone somewhere along the line or a book they read or a YouTube video, and there's watering and watering, and then all of a sudden you're there in the right moment, the right time. Amen. When we try to go our own way, we only make it difficult for ourselves. We should be available to work with anyone God calls us to work with. He makes a way, opens doors for us, directing us toward his plan. God wants us to work in his field and glean from his ripe vineyard. Listen, if we try to work a harvest that is not ripe, we will waste valuable time. Following God's direction and plan is always the better choice. Again, I've said this before, but our prayer should be, God, direct me to the right person who you want me to talk to today. Not the person I want to. You know, we get a passion. Maybe there's a loved one in our lives, a mother, father, children, grandchildren, our best friend, our neighbor who we're super connected with, and we want to see them. Yes, pray for them. Yes, wait for open doors. But maybe there's someone that you have the least likely that's not even on your mind that's going to come into your path that day. And so our prayer should be, God, direct me to the person and speak to my heart so I know this is the person that I'm supposed to speak to today. And maybe it'll be your neighbor. Maybe the door will open for your kids to have a conversation. But if we push and push and push and try to reap a harvest that's not ready to be reaped, I've seen it. They get pushed away. Like, stop. we are in the pester phase of our children. And it's the pestering. And so that's like, stop pestering. Because like, as soon as you get in the car, Dad, turn on Pandora. I'm like, I just sat down. Just give me a second. 2 seconds later, Dad, can you turn on Pandora? And they're like, I will in just a little bit. And then the other one, who obviously heard the other one say, ask the question, and I told him the answer, is like, hey, Dad, can you put on Pandora? It's like, ah! And it's like, all right, if Pandora's going to be such a big issue, we're not listening to Pandora. Ah! But that's what we can be like. Oh, you need to come to church. You need to come to church. You need to come to my church. You need to be saved. You need to be saved. That's what's wrong with you. You need to be saved, you know. And we push and push and push and push. And what does that do? Like, my goodness, leave me alone. And so we have to be just wise. Wise in who we talk to. Wise when we talk to them. How we talk to them. What we share. What we communicate. It's so important to have the wisdom of God to lead us to the right field, to the right harvest. Amen. Amen. So the close of the workday comes, and guess what? The owner lines everyone up, begins the work payout, And to the surprise of the ones who've been working all day, everyone's wage was the same. Those who had worked 12 hours and those who had answered the call for work 1 hour before the end of the workday, they all got paid the same. The grace of God is extravagant for each person who reaches out and takes advantage of his amazing provision. It doesn't matter to God whether we've been in this in the way for 40 years or for 3 months. His grace is the same for everyone. It's abundant. It's free. God is no respecter of persons, rank, social status, or tenure. It's because you've been here for 1,000 years. You know, a lot of you have been here for 1,000. Doesn't even make sense. But those who are our elders, the grace of God is the same for the brand new baby and who comes in. Everyone has the opportunity to receive his grace. And that should get us excited. We should be thankful that God is generous with serving up grace in large portions. But as the story goes, the early workers did not understand why they received the same wage as those who had come toward the end of the day. They became angry, approached the owner, complained about how unfair he had been toward them. We must be careful not to judge how God works with others. Each of us have unique needs. What takes years for one may only take days for another. There's some folks in here who have been praying for their spouse for years and years, decades. And they pray for them to come to God. And in Jesus' name, we're going to see those prayers answered. And some, after years and years, they see it. And they live just a few years. I've heard those stories where they come in right before they pass on into eternity. But the prayers over decades. And then there's others that it just, they wander into church from a nearby bar, fall down on the altar, repent, receive the Holy Ghost in 10 minutes. You know, and we can't judge how God deals with each person. We just know he'll meet the people at the point of their need. When they are willing, God is drawing them, but they've got to be willing. They even may turn and walk out of the church building, never to return, but God will meet them at the point of their need. So it's important to have the proper perspective when working in God's field. The whole parable starts with the word for. Giving indication, if you read through Scripture, it says, you know, there's these Scriptures, and then it says for, and then boom, boom, boom. And so it's giving an indication that this parable is being told in response to something that had just gone on or a question that was asked, and that was the case here. Peter asked Jesus this question in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. It says, then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? In essence, we've given everything up for you, Jesus. So what about it? What are we going to get? What's going to be the reward? What's going to... And the priority was a little off. And he responds to them in the last couple verses of chapter 19 and then relays this parable. Their focus was off. You see, it's a privilege to work for the Lord. When he calls us to work in his field, it's not long before we are aware of his infinite grace. His blessings are bountiful, unreserved. Everything we do for him comes with much greater benefits than what we have to give. When we work in God's field, we have the opportunity to see his goodness in action, watching new believers surrender to Christ, witnessing chains break from addiction is a joyous sight. Feeling the euphoria of bringing a new convert into the kingdom, helping that person receive the Holy Ghost is like assisting in a natural birth. To see their lives change and then just being able to walk alongside them through the process, making a disciple, helping them grow so that they in turn then go into the field and work and communicate to others and talk about what the Lord has done in their life. Amen. Tears of joy can stream down our faces as we watch those who we reach through Bible studies launch on their own. So it's the coolest feeling. I was youth pastor for 10-ish years, something like that, and now to see some of these guys and gals just working for the kingdom and being involved and loving the Lord and passing it on now to their kids makes me feel really old. And, you know, just it's the greatest joy ever to see someone who's stuck, who got it, who has grown, and now are in turn ministering to others. The benefits of working in God's fields are endless. And so we must cheerfully respond to the call. Remember, Jesus told us to pray for laborers for the harvest. We can be part of the answer to that prayer request. We can. The reality is that this parable is not about those who worked, but rather what God does. Again, we think, oh man, all that hard work all day long. And that's where the wrong priority comes. It's not about that. It's about the harvest that was received, whether it was the harvest that was received in the last hour or the last 3 decades. It's about what God does. God is leading us to get the harvest. The owner of the vineyard could do whatever he pleased because it was his property. The workers were there to because of his goodness to hire them. The land didn't belong to the workers, nor did it belong to the merchants or servants. The owner was responsible for the work on his land and for the workers he hired to harvest his crop. God is the owner of his field. We don't have to worry about how he manages his crop. He's given us a job to bring in folks that he has prepared. We can't save souls. We can't save people. We have to leave that part of the process up to God. God's the one who saves. God's the one who draws. We witness to people. We take an invitation card. We do our due diligence. We offer a Bible study. We teach. We preach. We hold the door open at the front, welcome people with a smile. We greet them. We take their information. Maybe we clean the church to make it look nice. We plant flowers out there so folks come and it's a beautiful campus. We teach a Sunday school class. We teach their kids. We take care of the kids. There's so many things that we can do. We exhort. We encourage. But when it is all said and done, as it says in 1 Corinthians 3:7, God is the one who gives the increase. God is the one who does it. God is the one who saves them. We pray, we encourage, but we can't give anyone the Holy Ghost. We can't lead them into truth. We can teach them, but they have to receive it. God is the one who brings revelation. Amen. Amen. So it's like you got to look at in your own lives and your experience. How have you seen God work in the lives of people you've reached out to? Think about it. How have you seen him work in the lives of people we've reached to? Amen. The vineyard is more than just dirt. The fruit contains future produce and provision. As we lead souls to God, they in turn bring others into the kingdom. God oversees his land of harvest. He's faithful to prepare souls and draw them to himself. And we can be confident that when we work in his field, it's going to be a vibrant, inspiring experience that enhances our own relationship with him. Sometimes we get so focused on life and so focused on ourselves and the struggles or the daily grind. Get into someone's life. Get outside of yourself. Get into the kingdom of God. Invest in the kingdom of God. It's amazing. Like my wife is, there are some teachers that were needed, so she had actually felt before teacher stepped down about jumping into the 5th and 6th grade class, and she had preteen, and she had felt the Lord leading to her, and she's like, whatever. Well, then, the opportunity came, and she's like, okay, let me jump in, and like now it's so cool. She comes up like, these are the coolest kids ever, and they just, her perspective is like, I'm pouring into these kids. I can meet them where they're at, and she's so good at that. With that age group. And so it's cool. Like, just be able to like invest in your area. Man, I'm going to be the best greeter ever. You know what? There's not going to be a sound glitch ever because I'm going to be the sound tech, the best sound tech. I'm going to pour myself into my craft. I'm going to pay attention. Sound techs out there. That's the biggest problem. You know, you get back there and you just want to yak with people. Well, hey, put some professionalism in your craft and say, you know what, I'm going to pay attention. So when the speaker comes up, there's going to be no glitch, no delay. And I'm not harping on the sound text, but you know, sometimes we need to be harped on. We need to grow. If you're media tech, my word, I never notice anything. I'm ultimately the pastor over these areas. I never notice the areas until I'm sick and I'm at home. I'm like, oh, what's that? Like, guys, like you can hear them, like the countdown's going and you can hear the singers talking. And it's like, this looks so unprofessional. And it's like, sound people, come on. It's like, musicians, or like singers, like stop talking in your mics when you don't know it's on. And, and then it's like the video people, it's like, oh, man, this, and I should be worshiping at home, but I'm sick and don't feel well and crabby and grumpy. And then I forget about it till the next time I'm sick. I'm like, oh, we need to improve again. But working and pouring yourself into your craft, pouring yourself into your work. If you help clean the church, if you help outside, do the best you can. Do the best ability you can. If you see things wrap around the floor, don't say, oh, man, look at these kids around this church. Pick it up. Pick it up. Just stick it in your pocket and, like, well, I mean, I need some acknowledgement if I'm going to do that. Like, God sees you, that you just cleaned up his house, and he's going to bless you. Let's pour ourselves into the kingdom of God. Because when I go into a place and I see rappers on the floor as a new person, as a guest, I'm like, well, I guess they don't care about it. So, like, I try my best when I see something on the floor. Oh, there's one right there. How good timing that is. You know, someone's going to distracted by that. They come down to pray and they'll be like, man, I got to stand right there. That was cool. Thank you, God, for putting some trash there. Great lesson. Now, what if I hadn't picked that up? That would have been funnier. Oh, man, there's a piece right there, Ernestine. Get him. No. Anyways, I'm getting way off track. Hallelujah. Having a great attitude, putting all or all. So back to having the right perspective. The owner helped the complaining workers see that they were looking at this all wrong. First, he reminded them of their agreement. They agreed to work for one denarius for the day. And then they complained that he chose to give it the same. He reminded them of agreement. Then he pointed out they were judging him according to what they expected rather than acknowledging his grace to others. He was generous and kind, and the first complaining workers were missing the point. It was a tough lesson to them, but they learned to be grateful for what they did have. And so with this parable, Jesus gave an object lesson on his grace. It's another aspect of this parable. Sometimes it's hard to see things from God's perspective. In the parable, the vineyard workers did not see at first what the owner was doing. They focused on how unfair it seemed to them to get the same wage as those who came later. In the same way, we must learn to trust God's decisions and accept that he is sovereign. He sees things on a different level than we do. He can see the whole picture. He's not tethered to time as we are. He sees the beginning and the end simultaneously. The concept that God is omnipresent, which everywhere at the same time, is hard for us to comprehend because we can only be in one place at one time. So when we trust him, we must consider that he sees things that we cannot see. So we learn to accept God's sovereign grace. We may not understand how God deals with other people whom we deem unworthy, but we must trust that he knows what is best for them. God's sovereign grace in our lives is a wonderful gift we're thankful for, and we must be mindful to remember and trust his grace is in another's life also. Amen. Amen. The last phrase in this parable, Matthew 20, verse 16, last phrase there, if you show that on the screen, it says, "For many are called, but few chosen." I don't know about you, but I was raised in the church, and I heard this phrase many times. And as a kid, as a young adult, I internalized this as a measure of worth, a measure of my worth. I just want to be chosen, but I may not be valuable enough to be chosen. I warped it through my internal filters that everyone wants to be used in the kingdom of God, but only certain ones are actually chosen. Let me help someone today, because the Lord spoke to my heart once when I read this scripture many years ago. Raise your hand if you want to go to Mod Pizza today. Okay, Peter, pick you. Pick Bo. Pick Kristen, because I saw your hand. Oh, I see a little hand way back there. One of the Roberto's kids. Sweet. I just called everyone to go to Mod Pizza. But I only chose the ones who raised their hand. See, it's not about worth. Many are called, few are chosen. You all are worthy to go to Mod Pizza. It's a great place. You should go. It's a blessing. I mean, I think the Lord inspired pizza. See, Victoria got me going now because she's laughing at me. I called everyone to go to Mod Pizza, but I only chose the ones who raised their hands. I'm not going to choose you, Sister Ernestine. You didn't want to go. And so it's not about the worth. It's about our willingness to raise our hand. God is calling everyone to work in his kingdom. Somehow, some way, but he's only choosing those who raise their hands. Say, ooh, pick me, God. Pick me. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll pick someone up for church. I'll teach a Bible study. Ooh, pick me. I'll pass out an invitation card. I'll get on my knees and pray. I'll teach in Sunday school. I'll go on a missions trip. You know, I had some folks, when my sister brought, she was over the Urshan College choir, and they came through. It's been several years now. And she just had me, like, there's a few guys that were not part of the I think they were musicians. And so they were just doing a vocal practice, and she's like, Phil, can you sit with these guys and just pour into them? I'm like, sure, not a problem. And I remember that they're like, so, like, you know, they wanted to sound all, like, really, like, let's ask, like, these deep questions. And I'm like, oh, great. But they're like, you know, how did you get to where you were or where you are today? And, you know, I'm sure they were expecting some, like, big, huge philosophical answer and stuff. And I just said, I just walk through open doors. I honestly can't tell you. I don't have, hey, this is what I want to do type stuff, personality. And, like, I just dive in and just, it's not my personality. And so God's worked through my personality by just opening doors. I didn't have a ministerial license till they said, we need a youth section rep in this section, and you have to have a license to do it. You have 2 weeks to get yours. It's like, watch all the videos, read all the books in 2 weeks. Did it. But it was just an open door. I wasn't pursuing it. And then it was next, it was like, oh, you're the Wisconsin State Youth Secretary. I didn't put my name out, put posters, vote Phil for secretary. Didn't ask for it. But working on the youth team, the ministers, I guess, thought I was okay to do it. Someone said something. I don't know what happened there. I was in college in 2000 and I don't remember. It was a long time ago. 2001-ish. It was shortly thereafter, maybe. No, it was during college, so it was probably 1999. Wow, that's real. That's 1900s. Oh, my word. Some of you are like, that's young. But I remember, like, some things happened and with some friends, and it kind of shocked my world and was more on the naive side of things of life, and was really praying about it. And God, I felt, called me to youth ministry. And I'm like, well, how am I going to do that? Like, I don't know anything about that. I don't know how that door opens or how that, you know, what do I say? Like, go to pastor and be like, I want to be the youth pastor. You know, like, it doesn't work, you know. Well, the next week, the youth choir director steps down. And so, like, Phil, you do music. You want to do it? I'm like, and it was a God thing. So I walked through the door. I didn't ask for it. Then the youth leaders step down. Like, Phil, you want to be the youth leader? I'm like, well, sure. Then Roy got promoted, and they're like, you want to be this student ministries pastor. I'm like, sure. Just like that, you know, like real confident, like, I don't know. And then little by little, and then it's like, hey, you want to come on staff? It's like, sure. And I don't think I impressed those guys very much. I'm like, I just walked through open doors. Why? Because I said, I'll do it. And so the kingdom of God is all about just raising your hand and said, I'll do it. Well, it's not my passion. I've talked about this last time I taught or preached or something. Like, you know, sometimes we say, oh, it's just got to be my passion, my perfect niche. Well, maybe it's just you need to do what God's calling you to do in the moment. Are you willing? And I'm born and bred for preaching around the pulpit. That's just me. Well, maybe God will never open a door to preach till you're willing to just teach little 4-year-old Malachi and his pestering ways. I want to play. God may open a door, but it might not be the door you think. But are you willing just to be like, all right, I'll go. I'll do it, God. Well, I want to be a missionary someday. Well, you know what? That's a life of sacrifice. Parents were missionaries for 40 years. They didn't have the Walmart conveniences. Things shut down. Talked about this a couple weeks ago when I preached. Things shut down at 6 p.m. You couldn't go at the store at 11 o'clock at night. They had very limited options for cereal. Cereal here is amazing. There it's like plain Cheerios. There's some Kellogg's brands, because Kellogg's is bigger over there. And the muesli, which like just, yeah, you know, it's disgusting. Like I never ate it. I still haven't. It might be good. I don't know. But it's just like, that was the options. And all that, and I'm like, well, I want to be a missionary. Well, think about the practical. Like, when I was in college, that age range till my parents retired from 97 till 2000 for 20 years, saw my folks every 3 years. Well, I want to be a mission. That's the practical. Are you sure? Why don't you do a mission trip first and see and say, I'll do it. Let me do it. Let me do the small thing. Amen. Because if we knew where God wants to lead us, we've said this before, we'd probably be like, okay, I don't want to leave my family for years on end and never not see folks and be, you know, every 3-4 years. We may not want that. Amen. But if God would lead us to that, and we'd be more willing if we say, hey, I'll teach a Sunday school class. Sure. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll raise my hand. Amen. Would you stand with me? The parable of the laborers. God is calling us to be in the field. And we just got to say yes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, God, that we can look at your word, grow from your word, chew on your word, Lord God, apply it to our lives, and just take another step, Lord, in you, another step closer to you, another step in your kingdom. And God, you're calling us to be involved in the field with the right motive. It's not about what we get for all the effort that we put in. No, it's about the souls. It's about kingdom work, God. It's about, Lord, growing your kingdom and bringing others into the kingdom of God, Lord God. Help us to have a pick-me attitude this morning. Help us to grow in that, to do whatever you call us to do. Help us to, Lord, be sensitive to those that are out there, God, the harvest that you've called us to reach, Lord God, to be, Lord, sensitive to those who need us, Lord God, and who you are drawing unto you and who are ripe for harvest, God. And help us to, Lord God, put an invitation card in their hand, put a Bible study on their kitchen table, God, to Lord God, that we would just be sensitive and just do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab some invitation cards. They're right out the back. Parents, go get your kids. We're going to be going into worship here in just a few minutes.